Another sort of lens through which to look at this issue is these severe weather events. Obviously, everybody in Texas who was there a year ago knows about Winter Storm Uri, and I'm sure you have stories to tell. The lights generally stayed on in the upper Midwest, in the MISO system, the Mid-Continent area, and the Southwest Power Pool, the central region, central plains, and northern plains. And that's because they had quite a lot of inter-regional transmission capacity. There were a lot of transmission lines that were built 10 years ago to deliver upper Midwest wind power to Chicago and points east. Those same lines were the ones that were used to send power the other direction during Winter Storm Uri. This is a heat map. It shows the prices. And the higher prices were the reddish. So there were constraints. When you have the different colors next to each other, that means there was limited capacity, and so the prices are different. So we were basically using up all the capacity we had, but we did have enough capacity to generally keep the lights on in that region, whereas Texas famously did not have that interregional transmission capacity to draw on. So it's another reason why this large-scale regional and interregional transmission is important. And then our last way to kind of look at it is these system modeling efforts. There are a lot of people who are studying, how do we decarbonize the economy? Well, it turns out most of them say you got to start with the power sector because it's the cheapest way to get started. To do that, you need to deploy a lot of wind and solar. And it turns out, again, the economics call for transmission to make it all work, to, as I said on the first slide, deliver the remote resources, but also send the power back and forth in both directions or multiple directions, depending on where the output, the renewable output is relative to load at any given time. So these models all tend to find a huge need for transmission. The map on the upper left is the MIT one, showing it's 50% cheaper to do that than to for all states to sort of do local renewable energy. The bottom left is the NREL SEAM study that was got a lot of attention a few years ago. The right side is also from the National Renewable Energy Lab SEAM study, where it turns out the optimal amount of flow from the eastern to the western interconnection with a high renewable energy scenario is almost 30 gigawatts. So any given day, this is a day, this, you know, a few days shown on the plot here. So the power goes over and, you know, to the east during the day with all the solar in the west, and then back the other direction with wind and hydro at night. So 30 gigawatts flowing back and forth, when in fact all we have is about a gigawatt, 1.3 gigawatt capacity. So we need to go from 1.3 to 30 somehow to get the optimal flow. Now looking backwards, I have about 20 years in the wind industry, and basically say half of the current U.S. wind industry just wouldn't exist if there had not been proactive transmission planning efforts. These are the numbers around some of the proactive planning efforts. Texas Competitive Renewable Energy Zones stands as one of the shining examples of doing this well. Most people think probably don't realize that so much of the current industry is really because of these efforts, and I'll talk about it in a minute. But we're generally not doing that type of proactive planning now in most regions. Now, one aspect of transmission is the advantage of doing it on a large scale. So economies of scale are a economic feature that apply to many sectors of the economy and very much applies to transmission. If you look at the cost per unit of capacity, it's like three or four times higher for the lower voltage transmission lines, the 230 kilovolt lines relative to the high voltage 765 kilovolt lines. That's an economic issue. It's also a land use environmental issue, because if you look at the amount of right-of-way you need for a whole bunch of small lines compared to one high capacity line, it's far greater. So 900 compared to 200 feet right of way. That's a lot of use of land. And there are a lot of parts of the country where you just aren't going to find many new rights of way. So it's just a lot more efficient to proactively plan for the long term and do it at a large scale if you're going to do it. Now, a lot of people think about transmission and get kind of defeatist about it, get pretty negative that, oh, it's impossible. Different companies have, run into a buzzsaw in different states. Any state can reject a line. It's impossible to permit, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is we actually have done this. We did, Texas CREZ was done. The Southwest Power Pool and MISO in the upper Midwest built those lines. You can see on this map, this shows the wind resource by the colors. You can see how some of these lines, basically tapped into these purple, screaming wind speed areas, very high average wind speeds, and connected them to load. That was done. The MISO example shows there were 17 lines planned out of that. 16 out of the 17 ultimately got their permits. One of them is still trying, so they might go 17 for 17. But it just shows that, the batting average is certainly not 1,000, but it's pretty good. And some regions are harder than others, but, lines can be permitted. What really made the difference was this winning formula here, proactive.